But today is the first week of a four-part series on the Holy Spirit. So the first 2 weeks will be about the Holy Spirit, who He is, His role in our lives, and how we can live a Spirit-filled life. And then for the final 2 weeks of the series, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Because who knows that both of those elements go hand in hand, that the work of the Holy Spirit in us is important, His empowerment, the boldness and confidence that He gives us, but also the fruit that He produces in us. So today, I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit, who He is, and take a look at the biblical map that we see of the Holy Spirit. So I think it's important that we understand when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is God. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't an addition to God. The Holy Spirit's not an add-on. The Holy Spirit cannot be separated from God. Now, He is one of the three persons of the Trinity, distinct from the Father, distinct from the Son, yet fully and eternally God. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, He is all-knowing, He is all-powerful, and He is ever-present. Now, the Holy Spirit is God with us, God within us, and God working through us. The Holy Spirit is God. And from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit has been part of our story, the story of creation. You know, we read in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Now we see here that the Holy Spirit is present at creation. Now the Holy Spirit was present at the beginning of time. Now the Holy Spirit was present and active in the creation story. You know, before we go any further, you know, I want to mention that throughout the Bible we see references to the Holy Spirit with different names. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Helper, the Advocate, the Spirit of Jesus. Now, I think it's important that when we talk about this, because this can be a point of confusion, that all of these names are referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit was present at the beginning of time. He was active in creation. And we also see that the Holy Spirit was present and active throughout the Old Testament. Now we see Joseph. Does anyone like the story of Joseph? He had a pretty cool coat. You know, Pharaoh recognized that the Spirit of God was in him. Now in Genesis 41, verse 38. "And he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams and was given wisdom from God through the power of the Holy Spirit to prepare Egypt for a time of famine. And we see in the life of David in 1 Samuel 16 verse 13 that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Now, David was empowered and prepared by the Holy Spirit to become Israel's king. And in Ezekiel 2 and 3 we see Ezekiel say, "The Spirit came into me." And the Spirit enabled Ezekiel to hear God's voice, to proclaim God's message with boldness, and to prophesy life into dry bones through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the life of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verse 34, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him." And Gideon went on to lead the Israelites against the Midianites through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, about Jehazel, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel. And the Holy Spirit gave prophetic direction to Judah during a military crisis." You know, I love that we see the power of the Holy Spirit at work all throughout the Old Testament. And I love not just that, but the vast array of different ways we see the Holy Spirit working. You know, I think sometimes we imagine that being empowered by the Holy Spirit must look like standing on a platform with a microphone and preaching a sermon or praying for everybody. You know, but in the Bible, one of the first people that Scripture explicitly says was filled with the Spirit was a craftsman. I'm going to get the name wrong. But Bezalel, in Exodus 31, was empowered by the Holy Spirit to design, build, and create the tabernacle. You know, that's a different way of seeing things. It means the work of the Spirit in people is not limited to what happens with a microphone. It's not limited to what happens on a Sunday morning service. But that the Holy Spirit can work through the person preparing food, can work through the person solving a technical problem, building something with their hands, caring for children, organizing a team, or creating something beautiful for the glory of God. Now, I love the idea of Holy Spirit-empowered spreadsheets. Is anybody with me on that one? Come on. And who knows that some spreadsheets or maybe payroll systems definitely need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's work in our lives is not confined to a specific form, a specific way. You know, God will work in the way that He needs to through us. So in the Old Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit's empowering presence was especially associated with particular people, with particular assignments that they were given. But for us today, under the new covenant of God's grace, the Spirit is poured out on all of God's people. Now, every person who belongs to Christ receives the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is for us today. The Holy Spirit is for you today. The Holy Spirit is God with us, God within us, and God working through us. Romans chapter 8 from verse 9 says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." You know, we can be confident that if we believe in Christ, if we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And not just dwells within us, but is working in us and is working through us. Now, think of it like the difference between a visitor and somebody who lives in a house. You know, when a visitor enters a house, they walk in carefully. You know, you might stand up until you're invited to sit down. You know, you ask where the bathroom is. You get a little bit thirsty. It's like, oh, is it okay if I have some water? But if you live in a house, or maybe you're very close with someone and they come to your house, you know, they walk in, they dump their bag on the floor. They open up the fridge. They turn on the television without asking because they're at home. You know, the Bible does not describe the Holy Spirit as an occasional visitor in our lives. He has made His home within us. Now, His presence is not isolated to Sunday mornings, to conferences, to worship moments, but He is ever present with us, always. You know, in our conversations, in our difficult decisions. If you belong to Christ, the Holy Spirit is not far away. If you belong to Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you always. So let's look at what the Bible says is the role and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the first thing today is that He teaches us. Now Jesus says in John 14, verse 26, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Now in this moment, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And He's about to leave. And until this moment, when it came to things of Scripture, He would explain it to them. He'd sit down, they'd have a cup of coffee, and He'd tell them what it was about, what it was speaking to them, but he encouraged them that the Holy Spirit would continue Jesus' teaching ministry among them. You know, reminding them of what Jesus has said and leading them into the truth. And this same Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about helps us understand and apply the truth of Scripture today. You know, our ability to interpret, to understand, and even remember Scripture is not simply from our own ability. Now, we don't have to read the Word in our own ability, but we have the Holy Spirit to help us. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us what it means and how to apply it to our lives. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 26 says, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but it's his anointing, talking about the Holy Spirit, teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it is taught, it has taught you, remain in him. And we see that the people are being misled by false teachers who are leading people away from God's truth. You know, I think for us today, this can be potentially even more difficult than what it was then. You know, to be confronted by a false teacher in this time, they would have to, you know, sit down and listen to them. Where maybe all it takes for us today is to open up our phone, take a look at a video, take a look at an article on the news, open YouTube. But the Holy Spirit gives us discernment to understand what is true. Now, hear my heart today that spiritual leadership, spiritual teaching is not wrong. That's not what this scripture is suggesting. But every believer, you included, has the power of the Holy Spirit in you to discern what is truth and what isn't. And the Holy Spirit will teach us and lead us to truth in the context of Scripture. Now, I want to encourage you that when I get up here and I speak, to not believe every word that I say. I'm not perfect. I can get this wrong. But we have the Holy Spirit to help guide us into truth, to let the things that maybe aren't quite right to fall away and let the things that are true remain. Jesus also tells us that the Holy Spirit will help lead us in what to say when we're bearing witness to Jesus. It says in Luke 12, 11 to 12, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. This promises us that the work of the Holy Spirit in us will teach us what to say when we're challenged about our faith or when we're presented with an opportunity to profess our faith. Now, I think sometimes when it comes to sharing about Jesus, we can get stuck at the first step because we don't know what to say. But the power and work of the Holy Spirit in us teaches us what to say. We can trust that the Holy Spirit will allow us to speak faithfully, with grace, with love, with courage and in truth. The second way that the Holy Spirit works in our lives is that he intercedes for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You know, when we do not know what or how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for us according to the will of God. Now, interceding, it means to stand in the gap and pray on behalf of someone else. You know, it can be hard to pray for the unseen when we can't see it. It can be hard to pray for the miracle when we don't know how it is going to happen. But I want to encourage you this morning that not knowing what to pray doesn't mean that we've failed at prayer. know, this situation is exactly what we're reading about here, the moment where we don't know what to pray. It's specifically called out in Scripture. So I would say this morning that we should expect to find ourselves in this place. Find ourselves in situations or with opportunities where we don't have all the answers, where we are totally and utterly reliant on God and on the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And we can take heart, because in these moments we have instruction from God about what to do. It's to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit in us, who intercedes on our behalf, who puts words where we don't have the words. You know, we may not have the answers. We may not have all of the information, but we can take heart because the Holy Spirit does know all things and intercedes on our behalf. Now, the third way that the Holy Spirit works in our lives is that He leads, He directs, and He restrains. We see in Romans 8, verse 14, it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Now, the Holy Spirit in us leads us into God's will, leads us away from sin, leads us away from the desires of our flesh and into obedience, into holiness and life as children of God. We see in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Now, the Spirit's leading did not always take Jesus toward comfort, did not always take Jesus toward the place of immediate success. Now, in this moment, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Now, I don't know why you would want to go there. Maybe that's why you had to be led by the Spirit, because it's a place of testing, it's a place of preparation, and it's a place of obedience. It might not have seemed like the right place to go, but the Spirit led Jesus to the place that God had appointed for him. And this requires an incredible amount of trust, but the Holy Spirit is worthy of our trust. And remember, the Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows more than we do. He's worthy of our trust. We see in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of those places, and then having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, the Holy Spirit kept them from preaching in Asia. Yeah. Paul and his companions, they had a good intention. You know, they wanted to go and share the good news. You know, surely there can't be anything wrong with that. But the Spirit prevented them from entering that region and redirected them towards somewhere else. We may not know why, but the Holy Spirit does. Now, the Holy Spirit can lead us not only by opening doors, but by closing doors in our lives. You know, not every closed door that you encounter is necessarily a message from God. Sometimes the doors just close. But Acts 16 shows us that the Spirit can sometimes guide us by restraining one direction and opening another. The fourth way that the Spirit works in our lives is that He convicts and He reveals truth. John chapter 16, verse 8 says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." Now, through the sacrifice of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was made available to all believers, to us today. And Jesus was leaving. He was ascending to heaven so that He could make a way, for a new way for believers to experience God's presence, the Spirit dwelling within all of them. And it says, when the Spirit comes, that He will prove the world to be wrong in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Because the Holy Spirit exposes what is false and reveals truth. And that means that He shows us the lack in our own self-righteousness, that we need a Savior. But he reveals to us the righteousness of Jesus and the forgiveness that we can receive through him. And the Holy Spirit brings us to a place where we recognize that we need Jesus. Now, I think a good friend in our lives is not someone who simply agrees with everything that we do. A good friend loves you enough to tell you the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is not God trying to humiliate us. It is God loving us enough to show us what is harming us and leading us back toward Jesus. The Holy Spirit will always speak truth to us, even when it is uncomfortable, in love and in grace. Now, I think sometimes we can try to play this role for others, that we become the convictor. But it is the Holy Spirit that brings conviction and directs us toward God's promises for our lives, directs us towards God's will in God's timing, in the perfect timing. And we already heard today that there's no condemnation in Jesus. Now, condemnation pushes us away from God, where conviction draws us back to him. Conviction can feel painful at the time, but its purpose is always to lead us toward repentance and restoration. Condemnation says that there's no hope for you. You've got it all wrong. Where conviction says, this needs to change, but there is grace available through Jesus. There is grace and there is empowerment through Jesus. Now, the last way today that we're looking at of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives is the Holy Spirit fills and empowers us. Now, as Pentecostals, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've already spoken today about how from the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit dwells within every believer. Now, he's not far away. He lives in us, he works in us, and he forms us to become more like Jesus. But we also believe the scripture shows us a further experience of being filled, of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, an empowerment that gives us strength, boldness, and spiritual power every day to fulfill the purposes that God has for our lives. And next week, Pastor Phil will be sharing about this in a lot greater detail. But I wanted to mention it briefly now to help us understand the next few scriptures that we're looking at. You know, throughout Jesus' earthly life, we saw that the Holy Spirit was active in his conception, in Jesus' baptism, in his testing, in his ministry, and the miracles that he performed. But then before Jesus ascended to heaven, in Acts 1, he tells the disciples not to leave Jerusalem until they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 8 it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, he's speaking to the disciples here. Now, they've just come out of 3 years of intense ministry training with Jesus. You know, they've sat around the table with him. They've witnessed the miracles that he performed. They've participated in the ministry, but they're still not ready. There was a missing piece, something that no amount of experience, no amount of training, no amount of study could replace, and that is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit before they could walk out God's purposes for them. So in the next chapter, we see from verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, it's important to note what were the people doing in this moment. This isn't just some chance, random encounter. Jesus had told them to remain in Jerusalem and wait for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. So two things. They're unified together in one place, and they're also standing in obedience to God. They're doing what was asked of them. Because this was not just a powerful moment that we read about, but it was a commissioning. You know, the disciples had been waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit, and now they no longer had to wait. They could pursue God's purposes, God's mission for their lives. You know, first they were commissioned, but now they were empowered for the mission and purposes that God had for them. You know, this power of the Holy Spirit, it is for all believers, for everybody who believes in Jesus. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, one of Peter's very first sermons, he says, "No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." So this is part of Peter's very first sermon after receiving the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now we see that he was filled with the Holy Spirit just now, but one of the first things that he does isn't just to proclaim boldly, to get loud, to yell, to run, to scream. He turned to Scripture. You know, what we're reading here is from the book of Joel. Peter quoting the book of Joel. And I think this teaches us that the Holy Spirit does not supersede Scripture. The Holy Spirit provides us the ability to understand and apply it. And being empowered by God will never supersede His Word. The power of God in your life will never contradict the Word of God. I note from this Scripture that it says that the Spirit will be poured out on all people. You know, not a single class. No, it says male and female. It says young and old. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for all those who believe in Jesus. And the power of the Holy Spirit is for you this morning. And the power of the Holy Spirit is for purpose. We see in verse 41, it says, after Peter had preached, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's a pretty good response to one of your first sermons, I would say. But power is always given for purpose. Now, if you have a wireless drill and you charge it up, you put power in it, you don't do that just to look at it, just to press the battery meter and see it go up to full. We charge the power tool because there's work to be done. The power is there because there is work to be done. You know, the Holy Spirit's power was not given to make the disciples appear impressive, to make them better than others. Jesus said that they would receive power to become his witnesses. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit in us is not for status, it is for purpose. The power of the Holy Spirit in us is for purpose. The Holy Spirit is God with us, God within us, and God working through us. I'm going to invite the team to join me this morning. So I think it can be easy for us to be amazed at the power of the Holy Spirit working through others, but it can be more difficult to believe to see it for ourselves. But through steps of faith, we walk toward understanding the Holy Spirit, how he works in our lives, how to hear his voice, and to outwork his power through us. We grow in our understanding of the Holy Spirit through relationship with him. 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 10 says, "These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us." You know, we grow in our understanding of the Holy Spirit through relationship with him. So So how do we relate to the Holy Spirit? Now, I want to encourage you this morning that the Holy Spirit is relational. Now, I think the Holy Spirit is often understood as a force, as a wind, as a fire. And while we see in the scripture that the power of the Holy Spirit can be manifest in that way, the Holy Spirit is far more than an impersonal force. He dwells within us, desiring personal relationship with us. Does anybody like to get a cup of coffee on the way to work in the morning? Do you have a favorite barista? Do you know their name? No? Okay. Bad. This is a bad illustration already. But when it comes to your barista, you know their name and you call them by their name because of the relationship you have with them. Now, they may produce coffee for you. That may be what they do, but that's not who they are. You know, it's an imperfect illustration. But sometimes this is the way we relate to the Holy Spirit, that we see Him by the way that He manifests. We see Him by what He produces, where He desires for us to know Him personally. That the Holy Spirit is a person who speaks, who leads, who teaches, who comforts, who convicts, and who empowers us. And we can learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We can learn to hear the leading, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And like a good friend. You know when you have a really good friend and it can be really noisy? Like you could be at the football, there's people screaming. But if they call your name, you hear it because you're accustomed to their voice. Would we become so accustomed to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit? So close in relationship with Him that despite the noise, despite the crowd, despite the distraction, but despite the things that are happening around us, that we would become so familiar with His voice. And can I invite you to stand this morning? Because we're going to sing through some of this song today. And as we do that, can I invite you to incline your hearts toward Him as we sing today? That we would ask the Holy Spirit to meet with us, to build relationship with us, that we would hear His voice and that we would understand His direction for us. You know, my prayer for us today as we close is from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord of God and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, the Holy Spirit is God with us, God within us, and God working through us. So as we start to sing today, can our response be, Holy Spirit, help me to recognize your presence. Holy Spirit, would you teach me through the word? Holy Spirit, would you convict me of the things that I need to change? Holy Spirit, would you lead me into obedience? And Holy Spirit, would you empower me for purpose? And just before we finish this morning, you know, I want to give you an opportunity that, you know, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus today. Because we heard today that there is no condemnation in Jesus. Now, the Bible says that Jesus came to earth to save us from our sin, from the wrong things that we have done, the things that separate us from God. Know that there is no condemnation in Jesus. He came to earth. He took the punishment that we deserved and He died a criminal's death on a cross. But 3 days later, He rose victorious over sin, over death and over shame. And He made a way for us to be forgiven and to be made right with God. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And today you can make that decision for yourself. You can choose to call on the name of the Lord. Choose to place your faith in Jesus and receive the forgiveness and new life that He offers to each of us. So if that's you this morning and you need to make that decision to put your faith in Jesus, I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me. And the whole church is going to pray it together as well. And when we do that, you can be confident that you have a relationship with God. So we're going to pray this prayer all together. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to make a way for me to be restored into relationship with you. I declare that you are Lord of my life. Forgive me of the wrong things I have done. I choose today to commit my life to you. Help me to live my life according to your ways. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church. Thank you.